We are in lesson number three today. Lesson number three in this series where we are looking across the New Testament at the many, many, many places where different New Testament writers use this phrase, one another. Over 40 times we find through the New Testament that this phrase, one another, is used. All kinds of different writers use it in the New Testament. God places a very high priority on the way in which we relate to one another. This is what we're learning. This idea of community is very high on God's agenda. And what we've been reminding ourselves as we look at these 40 plus verses, we're not going to look at all of them individually, but as we look at what goes on, we're not looking at all of these 40 different verses and the commands that are given. We're not looking at them simply as a list of rules to obey, like we would see rules in the swimming pool or rules of the road or rules of wherever you might find rules. It's not just a list of rules. There's something much, much deeper going on. There's something much deeper. And as we look at this whole array of language around the way in which we relate to one another, we've been using an analogy that says we want to use these words as a mirror, and we want to look at these words, and when we allow these words from the Word of God to shine into our hearts. Into our hearts. Because really, this way in which we treat one another is not just an issue of how we behave towards one another, but it's more, the bigger question is what's going on in our hearts towards one another. That's really the deeper, bigger, broader issue. And this is what the Scripture wants to teach us, what's going on in our hearts towards one another. Last week, I did put a quote on the screen, which a number of you found useful. So I want to put it back again because it kind of helps us just to see what we're trying to do here. Rob Reamer wrote this book called Soul Care, which I found helpful. But he writes this: God is far less concerned about our behavior than we think He is. But He is much more concerned about our hearts than we'll ever know. Because here's the thing, we can fool people with our behavior, right? We can be really nice to each other, even all the while there's something going on in our hearts that's very wrong, dark, evil. And so the Word of God is not just addressing this behavioral issue, but what it's doing is coming down into our hearts and saying, how is it in our hearts as we relate to one another? The two words that we want to use today are teach and admonish. Teach and admonish one another. And what's in view, our focus here this morning, is a small cluster of verses written by the Apostle Paul. And there's really these two words that come into focus here. The first word is teach. The word teach is a common word in the New Testament, but what's very interesting is this. If you look through and you search through the New Testament for the instances of this word teach, guess where you find it mostly? You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the books that start our New Testament, right? They tell the story of Jesus from four different perspectives. Almost all the instances of the word teach are in those four Gospels. Isn't that an interesting thing about the New Testament? They're scattered through the letters and the other books, and but most of them, guess who they're talking about? Talking about Jesus, because that's what Jesus did, right? He came, he taught. And we have so much to learn from that. The second word is admonish. Admonish is used only 8 times. It's used only by the Apostle Paul. And it's often used alongside this word teach. So Paul seems to have this idea that this is what we're supposed to do together, is teach and admonish, and this is what we want to explore. This word admonish becomes a little bit more difficult for us. Listen carefully to the definition of it. This is from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. The word admonish means to put in mind. In other words, to remind someone of something that they should know or should be doing, or maybe that they're doing wrong, but put in mind something. So that is, by implication, to caution or to reprove gently, it says. Caution, reproof gently. To admonish means also to warn. All right, so this is a little bit more difficult language. As we think about our relationships together, Paul seems to be saying to us, okay, teach and admonish. So this word admonish means that if I see something in you that doesn't seem to be leading you towards Jesus, seems to be taking you away, that I have a responsibility to warn you. And this is something we want to wrestle with a bit this morning. How do we actually do that? Let's come back for a moment to this word teach. If we think about what it means to teach one another, how do we understand how we teach one another? Let me remind you that the primary example is Jesus. The whole of the Gospels is full of the language of Jesus teaching. And I believe that we need to see this as saying to us that Jesus really is our example. And how to, of course, we're not Jesus, right? We're not divine. But the example of Jesus can teach us so much about how to teach one another. So we should look at the stories of Jesus. We should look at the stories. He taught using stories a lot, right? Parables, stories, examples. But think of the words that he used as you read through Sermon on the Mount, for instance. Words that are full of grace and sometimes words that are sharp as an arrow. We can learn so much by looking at the teaching of Jesus as an example of the way in which we can help teach each other. Here's the thing about followers of Jesus. All healthy followers of Jesus grow in knowledge and maturity. I think that's just a statement, which is true. You can question me on it if you want. I'm very open to questions. But I think that if we're healthy followers of Jesus, that we're going to grow to know Jesus better as time goes along, right? And so the idea is here, as we grow to know Jesus better, we've got people who don't know Jesus as well as we do. We have a responsibility to teach and admonish, to bring along those people, to help them to get to know Jesus better. I think this is sort of getting to the heart of what this teach and admonish means. But here's the problem. Sometimes we can stagnate. Sometimes in our relationship with Jesus, we can grow cold. We can become sort of stagnant and not growing. And so, actually, the writer of Hebrews has a very strong message to the people that he is writing to. If you look at these words in Hebrews chapter 5, in fact, the writer says, although at this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. So here's a group of people who are not growing, are not expanding, are not growing into maturity. They become stagnant. They know Jesus, but they really aren't growing in Him. And so the writer of Hebrews has very strong words to speak to people who are not growing. This is the natural way of human life, is to grow in our understanding of Jesus, to grow to know Him better. Here's the thing, not all of us are gifted to be public teachers, but all of us in the community of followers of Jesus, we have this responsibility to share what we have learned with others. This is body life together. This is community life together. So how do we do this? Then let me make this statement. We help each other grow to maturity through these words that Paul is using here, teaching and admonishing one another. Here's the question. How can we do this well? How can we, so imagine for us at the Community International Church of Bishkek, how can we, as we look around this room together, we have various levels of relationship. Sometimes we don't know someone who's sitting beside us, but we are a community, a changing community, admittedly, but we're a community. How do we teach and admonish one another? How does this work? What are the dangers? There's some dangers with this word warning, and that's what we're going to look at. Because sometimes when I should warn you, I back away from it. And sometimes when I should warn you, I jump all over you. Right? So those are the two extremes we want to try to avoid. Let's look at how this can work out in our community. I was trying to think of a way that we could picture this, and I was thinking what we really need is a living example, but I thought it would be awkward to invite one of you to come and sit on this chair, and then we could just look at you and say, okay, how do we teach and admonish this person for what they're not doing right? That's a bit awkward. So I brought another friend here to help us, all right? You have to use your imagination a little bit with me, if you don't mind. Let me introduce you to my friend. Well, this person is becoming my friend. This is Lydia. This is a purple stuffed frog named Lydia. When I asked Martha to marry me 3.5 years ago, she didn't tell me she was bringing her family with her, but she did. Lydia used to sleep on Martha's bed at night. She doesn't anymore. She sleeps on the floor now. In fact, it's been known to happen that sometimes she forgets to get down on the floor. And I don't know, sometimes, do you know what a drop kick is? Sometimes it happens. But we're becoming friends. We're sort of just getting to know one another. But here's the point. What I want us to do is to imagine that Lydia's one of us. She's part of our community here, and she's got some questions. And I want us to work out together how we're going to teach and admonish her. All right? So this is Lydia. She's going to sit right over here on the offering bags. Don't put your hands in there now. Come on. And we're going to ask some questions. But let me take you to the verse that's going to guide our discussion. It's in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 says this. Let's give a bit of background on Colossians here. Colossians is a letter that Paul writes to this church in Colossae. And he writes, the striking thing about Colossians is the strength with which Paul describes Jesus. Do you remember in the first chapter of Colossians? He is the image of the invisible God. He is the one who nailed all of our sins to when he died on the cross. He triumphed over the evil powers, the principalities and powers in the world. Paul is using all kinds of strong language to describe who Jesus is and what he's done. This is the message of Jesus. And then he says this, then he comes down, he wants to say to this group, and I believe he wants to say to us at the International Church of Bishkek, let the message of Christ, hear this carefully now, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, pay attention with me to the first few words. All right, the first few words, what do they say? This is Paul's wish. This is Paul's desire for this church. This is Paul's desire for our church. Let the message of Christ dwell or live among or in you richly. What does this mean? What's Paul trying to say? He's just talked about how powerful this story of Jesus really is. And he's saying, let this message of Jesus, what's the word message? The word message is the word logos in Greek, right? It's this great word that is actually a name of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. Right? So what's he saying? He's saying, let the message, let the Word, who is also Jesus, let this living Word live in you richly. What does richly mean? I like what the word biblical commentary says. The gospel is to have its gracious and glorious way in our lives. Here's the thing. This is what Christian faith is about. Christian faith is not about attending church. It's not about following rules. It's about allowing the life of Jesus to bubble inside of us, to bubble up in us, so that it becomes who we are. Let the message of Jesus Christ be the identifying factor of our lives. Let people who look at us see the life of Jesus. Let us be full of His joy. Let us be full of His life. And let us do that by teaching and admonishing one another. So how do we do that? So here's the question. In what specific ways can we teach and admonish each other? So let's use our friend Lydia here as an example. So Lydia's telling us all, right? She says, yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus, but I just don't know. I feel really dry right now. I feel like I don't even want to read the Bible. When I sit down to read the Bible, I fall asleep. I can't find these feelings in my heart. I trust Jesus, but I don't know. I'm feeling very dry right now. So then we hear these words from Paul saying, let the message of Christ live inside of you. Let it live inside richly. So here's the question. How are we going to teach and admonish Lydia when she has these kinds of questions? This is a question I'm going to ask you. This is a question I am asking you. Let's share together. All right? So how would you encourage Lydia when she's got these kinds of questions that says, you know what, I just feel dry. I feel like I don't want to read the Bible anymore. I don't feel the life of Jesus in me. What do I do? Who would like to say something to Lydia? This is an opportunity for us together as a community to practice this. Anybody want to be brave and put up your hand and say, here's a thought. This is not, you know, we're not looking for super spirituality here. We're looking for real life, Jesus. How can we help Lydia to experience the life of Jesus? What are some things you would tell her? That's not helping. Oh, Sandra, thank you.
Lydia, I'm so glad you realized it. You're going through a dry time, and I'm really glad you shared it with me. Can I pray for you? And I would love to spend time with you and read the Bible with you when you have time.
That's awesome, right? It's about relationship, right? And it's about, let's do it together. It's beautiful. Who else? What else would you say to her? Anyone?
Don't get discouraged that life is lived in seasons and it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, let's admit that we go through those same things, right? Let's admit that we're broken too. Let's admit that sometimes we feel the same thing. But this is the whole thing with teaching, admonish one another. It's this idea that we're not all in the same place at the same time. Thank the Lord for that, right? Who else has a thought for Lydia? A suggestion, ideas?
Seems to be not about you living in Christ richly, but Him living in you richly.
That's a great observation. Did you catch that? It's not about what we do, it's about what He's done. So maybe sometimes it's not so much do this, but be reminded of this, right? Be reminded. So sometimes, this is what admonishing is all about, reminding people of truth. Reminding people of the reality that the living God is living inside of you. Well, maybe not in her, but in living inside of us, right? The living God is in us. So we forget. We need to be reminded. And so this is partly what admonishing, warning, right? Anyone else? This is great. This is teaching and admonishing one another. Let me... Yeah, go to the next slide. So this is a question for the individual. Let's ask the question, one more question here. Because really, this word among or in, go to one more click, please. There's another question here that's more related to the community. Because it really seems like what Paul's saying, let the message of Christ dwell among, the word among and in is the same, but the you is plural here, so it really is a sense of let the word of Christ dwell together among us as a community. We won't spend a long time with this, but if you have a thought, how do we, as a community, let the message of Christ live in our relationships together? How do we do that? What we're doing right now is one way in which we do it, right? We pay attention to the word together, and we should do that. We sing together, right? So we do it through songs to one another. Smaller groups, right? So let me say this. I believe that every one of us who are followers of Jesus, we need to have friends that are close enough to us that we can open our hearts, right? We need to have those kinds of relationships that are close enough so that the mirror of God's Word can shine into my heart and I can actually be honest with that person. I can't share deep secrets with a group this big, right? But we all need close friends that we can share with. And teaching and admonishing happens in that context in a very strong way, probably the strongest way. But then there's larger groups. When we just come together, we discuss the Word. We seek to hear the Word, hear the truth of the Word together. It's about relationship, right? And it's about our hearts. Let me take us back to the verse, the rest of the verse, which really talks about music, which is very interesting that Paul should do that here. So teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. There's something about well-chosen songs that we sing together that can draw us to worship, right? So music is something that can really teach us and admonish us. I appreciated Eunice so much for sharing that song with us this morning. You know, she shared her heart with us as she sang to us. Let me just share one more story regarding another way that we can use music together. Some of you know this young man, a 27-year-old young man who's battling lung cancer. He's been at our church a few times, going to another church also here. But with an awful diagnosis at the beginning, with lung cancer, didn't think he would live very long. A week before last, he had a test that seemed to show this cancer's in remission, which was very good news. Thank you for your prayers for him. Then last week, there was a scare. Some tests didn't show up. We weren't sure what was going on. And now it seems okay again. But this young man has been going through this kind of event in his life, wondering, maybe my life will only be one more year or less. I can only begin to imagine the kind of emotions that he's feeling. But last week, as he was in the midst of receiving this more difficult news, he sent me a song. He sent me a song on Telegram, a video of a song that meant something to him. And it was a song that most of us know here because we sing it quite often. It's the song, "You Are My All in All." But let me tell you something. As I listened, I didn't listen to it right then, but as those words came into my mind and I thought of his situation, imagine with me what I thought. You are my strength when I'm weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Even if life itself is uncertain, you are my all in all. Through sending that song to me, he taught me. He admonished me. He reminded me of what's really important in life. And we can do that to one another. Teach. Admonish one another. Let's imagine another scenario here. Let's ask the question, what happens when something goes really wrong? What happens when Lydia, she starts to get caught up? She's deceived by some kind of false philosophy or some false ideas about who God is, and we see her, and she's turning away from Jesus, and she's starting to run away. What then? How do we teach and admonish her when something goes really wrong? I believe that there's two extremes that we can fall into here. The one extreme is that we can avoid difficult conversations, right? So sometimes we have friends, fellow followers of Jesus who are friends, we're walking the journey of life together, and we can see indications in their life that something's wrong. They seem to be down, they seem to be turning away, they're depressed or whatever's going on, but we don't want to enter that difficult conversation, and so we avoid. Paul is trying to teach us here that together as fellow members of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to each other to warn, to speak reproving words gently. The other extreme, of course, is that we can, on the other side, if we see something that's going on, we can come in with strong words of condemnation. And these words are not helpful either. I would like to take us to two examples, two places where Paul uses this word warn, where I hope that it will be helpful in just providing some ways of thinking about how to confront, how to speak difficult words, but how to put good boundaries around it, how to be careful in the way in which we teach and admonish one another. The first example comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you remember, let me say to you that the beginning of 1 Corinthians, Paul is again speaking strongly, but in a different way to this church. He's really calling out to them for something that they're doing, which is not good. The community is becoming divided in Corinth. And he's saying, some of you say, I follow Paul, and so I've become part of this Paul band. And some of you are saying, I follow Apollos, and I'm better than you. And I follow Cephas, because Peter, he was the greatest disciple of Jesus. And some of you are even saying, I follow Jesus. And the whole community is becoming divided because people are becoming proud of who they follow. And Paul is writing very straightforwardly to them. And he is confronting them about this. And he's speaking very strong words about how Jesus calls us to unity, not this division. And so he's speaking to this community that's proud and divisive. And I'm not going to go into details of the kind of hard words that he uses, but look carefully at chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, verse 14. Look at how Paul says what he's doing. This is how he describes what he's doing. I'm writing these hard words, and look at what he says. I'm writing these hard words not to shame you, but to warn you. Here's this admonish word, right? Not to shame you, but to warn you. How? As dear children. Even though you've had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I, Paul, became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Now, let's think this through carefully. This is what I would call the father approach. All right? So Paul really did have a significant role to play in these people coming to Jesus. So he really was like a father figure to them. But notice that as he's writing these hard words to them, he's saying to them, I'm not trying to shame you here, but I am trying to warn you. Because what you're doing is not giving glory to Jesus. It's not letting the message of Jesus live in your community. The message of Jesus is not evident because of this division in your community, and it's not good. So you need to change that. You need to pay attention to it. And Paul says, and listen carefully to the language that he uses here, therefore I urge you to imitate me. And here's the thing about teaching and warning one another. We should never warn someone when we're not ready to live it ourselves. All of us, wherever we are on this journey of faith, we have people alongside of us who are not quite so far along on the journey of faith. And I think what Paul is giving us an example of here is the idea of us reaching back and bringing along those fellow sojourners, those fellow travelers on the pathway of faith, and asking them to imitate who we are. But guess what that means? We need to pay attention to what's in our heart, right? And then we have the ability to speak when things are going wrong. We have the ability to speak and say, yeah, this is not good. This is not giving glory to Jesus and giving warnings, but in a fatherly kind of approach. Let's go to another example. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul is writing particularly about another group of people that he calls idle and disruptive. Listen to verse 11. It's not on the screen, but let me read it to you. Paul is writing to this church. He says, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive, you know, causing division in the community. They're not busy, but they're busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food that they eat. All right, so Paul is speaking strong words to this community because there's some people there who are just taking, and not pulling their weight, not contributing to the community. And Paul says you need to confront these people because they're just busybodies, and they're taking the unity away that Jesus values so highly. Right? They're taking the unity away from the body. And it's a very serious offense in the body of Christ. And look what Paul says. Very difficult words here, actually. Look at carefully, and I don't have all the answers to the questions you're going to have as we read these verses, these words, but let me read them to you. Verse 14. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter, and do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. That's a very strong statement, right? If we consider someone who it seems to me he's talking about an extreme situation, right? Where someone is just continually, persistently bringing division into the body of Christ. Paul says, just hold them at a distance. But, he says, verse 15, do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them. Here's that word, warn again. Warn them as you would a fellow believer. All right, so do you get the feeling of what's going on here? That somebody is causing division, somebody needs to be confronted. But let's do this in the right way. Don't treat them like an enemy, but warn them. And sometimes that warning needs to be strong words. But let's warn them as a fellow soldier. So again, it's not condemning, it's not coming down, but it's saying, I too am a fellow pilgrim of Jesus, following on the pathway of faith here. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. But sometimes it means holding them at a distance too. It's challenging. It's challenging for us to learn how to disagree well together. This is part of what we're trying to learn in this whole array of language that accompanies the one another commands. How can we disagree well together? How can we really confront one another with truth issues while really actually loving that person? It's deep and it's complex, and there's so much more that we could learn. But let's come back again to this main verse for today. And can we say these words together? One more slide, please. Let's say these words together. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So here's the thing. Let it be that our admonishing, our warning of each other, let it be that that warning comes from hearts where the gospel is having its gracious and glorious way. Right? Let it be that we're ready to confront one another, but let it be that it's coming from a heart that's full of the message of Jesus, where we're really allowing the word to live in us richly, and then we're able to speak the words of truth that we need to each other. So we step back one more step and remind ourselves of the key verse through this whole series of studies. You, my brothers and sisters, Paul says in Galatians, you were called to be free, right? So this is what the one another commands are all about. We're called to be free, free to live fully as God created us to live. This is freedom. But Paul says, don't use your freedom to be selfish. Don't use it to indulge the flesh, but rather serve. Serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And so our prayer, as we learn, even as we practiced a bit this morning, let's do it more and more to teach and admonish one another. Let it be that the light of Jesus would be seen. As people around us here in Bishkek, the light of Jesus would be seen in this community. The love of Jesus would be felt in our relationships together, and that the aroma of Jesus would become very evident in our community together. Father, we admit that we don't have all the answers to the questions that come to our minds, and yet today, as we have wrestled with this idea of teaching and warning each other, I pray that you will give us grace. Give us grace with each other. Give us grace to be honest with each other. But let that honesty come from hearts that are full of the gracious gospel. Hearts that are full of the message of Jesus. Hearts that are full of joy and hope. But let us be ready to speak the hard words when we need to. Because in that way we come closer to you. We challenge each other to come closer to you. So we long, Lord, for your light to be known here. Yeah, give us great joy together. Help us to know what it is to really have fun together, full of your Spirit, living life fully in this place, letting the message of Jesus dwell in us richly. May it be for the glory of your name.